Hello, I'm Phil Layton with Pi Energy. Today we have Lee Cravat. So I'm really excited to have this opportunity to talk with Lee because Lee not only has a podcast, he's a board member at Pi Energy, but he has done so many things in renewable energy. I don't think I can actually list them all besides being at Sempra and SDGE working on smart grids and electric vehicles. Now he's working with a bunch of other new exciting renewable energy technology. So you've been working on smart grids and electric vehicles at Sempra, and you kind of got that going forward. So that's where you started before what you're doing right now. So what tell me a little bit about that.
In 2009, I founded the smart grid team at SDG&E. Before that, we had some people thinking about it, but we weren't very focused. We ended up with an incredible team. I really was very lucky about the superstars I was able to put together. And we put a 10-year smart grid deployment plan together, which just finished, by the way. End of 2020
Wow.
will be the end of that plan. That was super fantastic. We were very innovative. We looked for ways to improve the efficiency of the electric grid, to integrate renewables, to reduce cost, to be more reliable, to be more safe. It was a great team. It was a great time. I did that for about 5 years. Part of that job ended up being leading the electric vehicle team, which was also pretty incredible. We were number one in the percentage per capita of electric vehicles in San Diego. We had many programs to help our customers leverage the technology and get the most out of it. We had wonderful time of use rates that let them save money. One of the most fun things we did is we spearheaded a project called VGI, Vehicle to Grid Integration, where it was day ahead hourly time of use rate just for the vehicle, so that you could plan your charging to get the lowest price, which, by the way, usually corresponds to the cleanest energy. Mm. So that was very exciting. We got that passed by the California Public Utilities Commission. I then went on to lead the investments for Sempra in distributed energy. Prior to that, we were only doing utility scale. That was very exciting. I learned a lot about the capital stack, how to make deals. Hmm. We invested in a great company called Sol Systems. I'm currently on their advisory board. And then I helped start a company called PICE, which manages microgrids and also manages full grids, so that you could have a grid with only renewable energy, only inverter-based energy, and still have inertia, basically synthetic inertia. So that was a very exciting startup, and they're doing very well right now. But when I saw the opportunity, since my passion was to help mitigate climate change, and Sempra had announced they were going to sell Sempra Renewables, I left the company to start my own company, Cravat Energy Innovations. And for the past couple of years, I've been joining more boards, more advisory boards, and really advising companies without, even if I didn't have a position, I was excited, and I am excited to advise companies that are trying to mitigate climate change, help them succeed. But my most favorite one, of course, is Pi Energy. And I really mean that. I think
it has
the most potential to change the world. So I'm super excited to be a part of the company.
And it's been fantastic having you on board and all your advice, because you've got a lot of background in the area. So it's been very helpful. You have now moved on to some very interesting working with the grid, smart grid. Where do you see the whole grid? Where do you see it moving in the next 5-10 years? What are some of the exciting things that you can see coming out?
We've already seen a lot happening, and I think that's important to talk about. Mm-hmm. Electric vehicles are becoming more common. They're coming down in price. Their range is increasing. They're wonderful vehicles. And I think we will continue to see that trend. In addition, solar has continued to come down in price, and I think Pi is going to drive it even lower. So that's going to really help the economics even more. There are a lot of applications that we still need solar to come down in price on in order to be able to leverage solar. So I'm excited about that. I think we'll see more hydrogen in the mix. And that's where, again, solar can be a big part of making hydrogen at low cost and in a clean way. I also think we'll see more microgrids. I think there'll be more communities, more business parks, more homes that leverage technology to isolate themselves from the grid when the grid is having issues and generating their own power in a clean way, storing it, managing their own energy use, optimizing when they use energy and how they use energy. So I see a lot more of that coming as well.
What about having the two-way electric vehicles? What do you see in that being able to, say, support, power your home or when the power's out? What do you think about that area?
I think that the vehicle manufacturers are feeling better about their batteries being able to handle that. So that's very exciting. But I do think there are a lot of regulatory issues in the way of that. It's going to take a while for public utility commissions, not just in California, but all over the country and the world, to figure out how much to pay for energy when it comes on the grid. How do those programs work?
Yeah.
So that it's fair to everybody and that it's safe. I do think there's more potential for very soon having vehicle to premise, whether that's your business or your home, especially in times when you're just backing up the grid. So if the grid were to go down, for example, in California, we're seeing a lot of public shutdown events where the utilities shut down the grid in order to protect from starting wildfires. So in those cases, you have a vehicle with a big battery, you're not going to use all of it. And if you are going to use some of it, you can go drive somewhere and fill it up and then power your home with it or power your business with it. So I do think there are ways of not violating those regulations if you're only using it during an outage in your premise if you do it the right way. I actually helped launch a company earlier this year to do just that, which I'm very excited about. And we are seeing a lot of interest in that, both from the California Public Utilities Commission and customers, and one or two of the utilities in California are excited about it as well.
Do you think you see any possibility, or is it just so much inertia it's going to take forever? Do you think with the fires, there'll be more interest in kind of moving that direction?
To be honest, I don't think it would move very fast, but I think because even while we're talking, there are some power shutoff events happening in California because we're getting some Santa Ana winds. So I think that because of that risk, there is a desire to get people power. And right now, most of the proposals involve generators that pollute the atmosphere, that create greenhouse gases, which is one of the things that fuels the fires to begin with and causes the droughts that cause the causes the fires to start. So I think we don't want that. We want it to be clean energy. And I think our product, but not just our product, I think allowing vehicles to help power homes is a way to deal with having clean energy instead of dirty energy, and also a way to leverage a battery you've already paid for in your vehicle. Why not also use it for another purpose?
Right. Those things are pretty big. I mean, you know, the power walls are only like 10 kilowatt hours, but the Teslas are 75. You've got a couple days worth of charge there, maybe to power your home or.
The upper models of the Tesla have 100, which is just an amazing amount of energy. Also, what's exciting about the technology is if you have an EV, an electric vehicle, or a battery powering your home, and you happen to have solar, which over a million homes in California have solar. Today, when you have an outage, that solar system goes down, and that's so you don't have backfeed on your line going out beyond your home and maybe electrocuting a line worker, which would be devastating, and it does happen. So it is good that solar goes down when the grid is out, but with this type of solution, the solar would see that the vehicle was powering the home, there'd be a disconnect from the grid, so you wouldn't be creating any risk, and therefore the solar would come back on. And so you would get the benefit of your solar system as well as your EV or battery when the grid is down.
That's what something that I've always wanted to have, because I have a solar, I have an electric car, but the power goes out. So that's a system level issue right now, or is it regulatory?
Well, it's both. It would create danger to the system if it went onto the overall grid. So you don't want that. So you need a solution for it. And so there are regulations preventing it. So it becomes a regulatory issue. What we have found is, and what the CPUC is studying now, there's a way to leverage the smart meter to disconnect. It already does that. The utility already uses it to shut people off when they don't pay. Shutting it off when you know you're going to do a prolonged outage, such as to prevent fires, or even if you're going to do work on the system, you shut off the meter and then you're protecting the grid. And then those regulations should be more lenient, and they are. We just need the CPUC to give the go-ahead, and we need the utilities to agree to do it, and we can get this technology going. We think that we'll be deploying next year, probably early in the year.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you think the CPUC will, maybe SDG&E will be something that this could happen in a year?
I am hoping that we will have pilots going the first two quarters of 2021. It's also very COVID friendly because you can do all the work outside. If you want to put your plug-in socket outside, you could also do it just in the garage. But in both cases, you don't have to put people that live in the premise at risk.
I'm going to switch gears because you've got some really interesting, you're not just working on all these other projects. You also do stand-up.
I do improv comedy. So whereas my wife will work on her routine where she tries to get a really exciting, funny 10 minutes, the audience will give me an idea or my team an idea, and we will create a skit just based on that idea that often will be very funny. Of course, it has the help of the fact that the audience knows and we know that it's made up on the spot, which makes things more funny when you know it's just being invented right then. And I also do musical improv comedy, which is where I sing songs that I make up right on the spot. Actually, on my podcast, after I interview somebody, I do a rap to summarize the podcast on the fly.
I know you did one with me, and that was pretty impressive. I'm amazed that you're able to come up with those things like that. So I know you're doing the rapping. Have you actually taken the guitar and included some and made it a musical one, or is it just rap so far?
No, I actually do musical improv where I sing to somebody else playing the guitar, but it's quite an amazing skill to be able to play, make up the lyrics. I do know one person that can do it. I perform with him. But for me, I either do the guitar or I make up the words, but I don't do both at the same time.
That is just impressive. That's and I haven't yet seen you perform yet. Unfortunately, COVID has happened now. So have you been able to do anything in the last 6 months, or is it on ice?
I've done a few Zoom shows and I've taken a few Zoom classes. The problem is that a lot of what makes musical improv exciting and funny and look really good is when you sing harmonies together with words you just made up. And over Zoom, unfortunately, when two people speak or sing at the same time, they tend to cancel each other out. It doesn't work very well. Try happy birthday with a group of your friends.
I know the delay is pretty tough. I know my son has the orchestra. It just doesn't work very well because everybody's got their different delays. And so, but I'm going to go back to renewable energy. What do you think are the challenges that we're facing in this current time frame in the next couple of years? What do you think is the big challenges that have to be overcome?
Before I talk about that, I will say that in some parts of the U.S., in many parts of the U.S., they don't have that much solar installed. There's still great opportunity without challenges. The challenges are more political than they are because of anything to do with the technology. But we are coming to a time in Hawaii, in California, and other places where there's a lot of solar. And so the grid is going to see some issues because of that, because there are clouds that cover the sun sometimes. Yeah. So you have to be able to have energy storage come and back that up or some other technology. And energy storage is still pretty expensive, although it is getting less expensive. So I do think that problem will be solved. Another issue is land to put the solar on. There are a lot of issues, even putting it in the desert, there are impacts that we might not want. So what's exciting is Pi, and I'm sure other companies are working on it, but Pi, I know, solutions that can leverage land that you can't do anything with anyway. Like there are many roofs that can't handle solar because solar weighs too much and the roofs just weren't made for that. But Pi is so light that it could go in those places. Also because the price is so inexpensive, it can go on the side of buildings. So you don't have to only find places that have good solar. You can really put it anywhere and it still makes sense financially to do it. I just interviewed on my podcast somebody, his company is called American Wind, that has a wind generator that he has put on the top of his vehicle. And he says it doesn't affect the speed of the vehicle or the resistance. And so I thought to myself, wow, you put that wind on top of an electric vehicle, you combine that with Pi that you wrap the electric vehicle in. And while you're driving and when you're parked, you're getting energy and generating it to fill a battery. So I'm pretty excited about those types of technologies that can really make a change.
Thank you for that compliment to us. What do you think, if you could change something, the dynamic of what the current system is, how could we get more technologies, more renewable? What's the dynamic you think that would, if you could change something, is there some idea, what would you do?
I think technology is coming along pretty well. And I think the science is pretty clear about the challenges and how we might address those challenges. I think the number one issue that we have is that it's become politicized. Mm-hmm. The idea of mitigating climate change is something that for some reason we're putting in the same category and dividing our country over. If a doctor told you that you were deteriorating and you felt fevers, you would understand you had something that you had to do something about, and you would take preventative medicine. I'm not saying everybody, but most people would come together on protecting themselves. With climate change, it's been politicized, and because of that, that stands in the way. It would be amazing if the country shared an urgency and understood the crisis with one mind. And if you had that, you could create so many jobs in the clean energy industry, just an amazing amount of jobs. You can really get the economy going great. At the same time, you can be solving climate change. And the US, because of the innovation in this country in particular, we could be such leaders. If we could overcome that political obstacle, we can be leaders in the world. You know, I have a saying that climate mitigation is red, white, and blue, and green times two. Green times two is both green for the environment, but also green for money.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of like the internet created a new opportunity for new type of commerce. This may be a challenge, but it also is an opportunity to create new businesses, new types of new economy that wasn't there beforehand. So it could help get us off this recession. So it's actually an opportunity that, and I feel the same way. It's an opportunity for us to create new jobs and good jobs. These are very well-paying. They're not dangerous. They're not in a mine anywhere, but they're new jobs that creates a new opportunity for people to work. I totally agree with you. That's why I think it's an exciting potential.
And it's in two directions. Number one, you have the whole clean tech industry of creating cleaner energy and replacing the old system that we have for energy. In addition, you have the waste management part of it. So we are creating lots of carbon. There's already a lot of carbon and greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and we've got to get rid of that. So we've created so much waste that we have to do something about it. So there's just tremendous opportunity for technology. There's tremendous opportunity for jobs. We haven't even scratched the surface. If we just get organized on this and do it with one mind, I don't think anything could stop us.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. It's a mindset. If you think of it as a problem versus an opportunity, as an opportunity is something exciting we can actually do something about, and it creates, and then new, very exciting opportunity. You know, I think most people like you, if you once you've driven an electric car, you go, wow, that's a lot better than my old car. I really like this more. It's the new opportunities that are there are actually exciting beyond just what they can do. I think people will use these new technologies because they really want to, and not just that they're doing something good for the environment. It lowers their costs. It's exciting. It's more user-friendly. I think a lot of these things are, these opportunities out there are things that people will be glad that we've changed.
I agree.
Yeah. You have so many things you've worked on, and I could go into, some of the music I heard was fantastic. Do you have a success story or something that you just kind of are particularly proud of that you've done with all these eclectic things you've been working on?
I talked a little bit about vehicle-to-grid integration, which was very exciting because it hadn't been done anywhere, and we were able to get it through the CPUC. But another thing that I feel personally responsible for is, although my team built this fantastic deployment plan for SDG&E specifically, I did take it on the road, both nationally and internationally.
Huh.
And I met with utilities all over the world, and many of them were so excited by it that they wanted to know if they could steal the ideas within and do the projects we were doing. And so it was very exciting just seeing the ideas that started at SDG&E moving into other companies across the planet that could really help climate mitigation and everything to do with the energy system across the world. One of the things that was exciting was we saw a presentation by another utility, and I'm not going to say which utility, and they were bragging about this project they did, but in their slide, there was an SDG&E truck.
Ah!
So that was pretty good. It's one of our slides because it was a project we had done first.
Ah, that's funny. I really appreciate your time, and I could probably, there's a bunch of other stuff I'd want to ask. I don't know how many other times you've been the interviewee versus the interviewer. You have your own podcast, Climate Champions, right?
It's called The Climate Champions.
Climate Champions. It's a very interesting, and we've been on it, and I appreciate that. I thank you for your time.
Phil, it is my pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you, Lee, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to me at pieenergy.com. That's PIENERGY.com. I look forward to hearing from you.